So,
okay, what I'm trying to understand is, we learned that the mind controls the body. In other words, a healthy mind produces a healthy body.
That is correct. That you have to have a healthy mind and the understanding to maintain the healthy body. You can keep a body healthy, but if the mind is no longer willing to continue for advancement, then the body will eventually fall into disrepair. It is, again, you can't have one without the other. To maintain a healthy body, you must have a healthy mind. To maintain a healthy mind, you must have a healthy body. After all, the physical body is nothing more than a vessel for the brain and the mental capacities related thereof too. So it is important to continue to have a mental awareness as well as a physical well-being that are at a level that are equal. You can certainly drive a mind too hard as you can drive a body too hard. So it is a balance that is necessary. However, if you try to keep a body healthy, but you do not have the mental capacity or intellect or desire to keep a healthy mind, then the body, after a while, just becomes a vessel for an empty organ. So it is important to remember that it is necessary for a body to be healthy as well as a mind to be healthy.
And one of those is with chakras.
Correct.
And you can, if your chakras are hurting, so is the rest of your entire body.
As well as your mind.
Once your mind gets to the point where it can't advance further in that particular incarnation, it doesn't matter anymore, in a way, because you're supposed to be in another stage now, and your body, in a way, responds to that the mind cannot fulfill any more that it already has in a particular dimension or in a particular lifetime, correct?
That is correct. 99.9%. I won't quibble over the 0.1%. I would have worded this a little differently, but then you are not I, you are you, which is good.
So you're saying there is a limit to where you can grow to and you can't advance any further?
Yes, to a certain extent. As I said, there is that 0.1%. The 0.1% is that it depends on how you pace yourself. If you have a constant questing for knowledge, a thirst for knowledge that is unquenchable, and you have the desire to maintain a healthy body plus a healthy mind, and you have that unquenchable thirst for knowledge, then theoretically your body should be able to go on for an indefinite period, getting older and older and more creaky as more and more things start to wear out. But with proper care and maintenance, theoretically the human body, the third dimensional human body, could go on for an indefinite period of time. Death normally occurs when the desire to continue learning has ceased to be, or you have learned all that you wish to learn in that incarnation. But if you are programmed in your waiting period to have that insatiable questing for knowledge, and also programmed to have that capability for maintenance of the mind as well as the body, then theoretically, it should go on forever. I say theoretically, everybody has a limit where they eventually get to the point where they are no longer interested in learning anymore, or they become tired of learning. That is a point where most people that survive most traumatic events or illnesses give up. They have learned as much as they wish to in that incarnation. That is 0.1%.
When you get to the sixth dimensional stage,
mm-hmm.
and you're living for 1,000 years, I mean, it's the same situation. You go on
yeah.
indefinitely after beyond that.
Theoretically, yes.
Different settings, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Different times.
So is that why you live so long?
I have a thirst for knowledge that would surprise you. My metabolism is different and my outlook on time is different. As I stated last week, a minute, an hour, a week, a year. After I finished my tea. And with this fifth dimensional coffee mug that I was given to drink my tea from, that may be a few hundred years. I still haven't figured out how it keeps warm.
That's good.
Yes.
I'm trying to absorb all you've said.
Okay. I see we are running dry on questions.
Mm-hmm.
I will depart.
Thank you.
Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
I'm sure.
For entertainment purposes, I will take the Uzi 9mm with laser sights and the plasma rifle. Okay, I'll put on the next speaker as I'm ring mistress for the night. Let me get my whip and top hat out of my tails. Don't everybody laugh all at once. If I had mentioned since kids, I'm never fit. Greetings, Russ. Greetings, Skip.
Yes.
Greetings, Lara. I am being of pleasure to communicate with you. Let us continue on where at we were. I believe our mole was dwelling upon the consciousness and the body existence and the longevity question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let us continue and answer questions that, being of unleft, be open to discussion.
Well, being as you have reached a rather advanced age for sixth dimension, what is your opinions on this? Learning.
To give an answer so readily would be hasty. But as your species is very in the moment and wishing to have answers immediately and being of that nature, I will have to answer in a way I am not appreciative of, but endeavor to try to comprehend. My opinion is of being age is not a hindrance or problem, but is more an advancement to a particular objective. The physical being is a vessel for the consciousness, as Amol Dinov stated. What is more important is that being aware of what was is a lesson in what is, and learning from both is a lesson in what will be. With a certain amount of certainty, I can say that tomorrow your sun will arise and ascend into your daytime sky and then set into the nighttime sky. That is taking what was, what is, and taking it to what will be. So by saying that great age is a word of unimportance, it is unimportant for me to say I am old. I am not. There are individuals being of older age than myself. My body is of age. Great, I do not know. But age, yes. Being of old is more of a learning lesson for what will be. I am being dry. Let us try to answer other beings of questions.
Okay, I have a question. I heard from somebody that prior to birth, we would know what we come here for. For instance, like contracts with certain people. We would know that prior to birth, is it so?
Yes, but once after being of birth, you are not aware of. And lessons that come along the way are designed in a way that lead to a particular objective that you desire. All actions past lead up to the present, the now. All are being designed to lead to this point. Hardships in youth make you what you are now. Be contented of who you are. If not the lessons that you had, would you be who you are? So lessons, no matter how harsh, how painful, how horrific, make you who you are now. To desire to be someone other than who you are is a dangerous pursuit. I have noted many people on your planet in my research of understanding that try to be someone who, not being they are, they masquerade and wear faces that are not theirs. There are so many that it would be difficult to point them all out. But eventually, world of theirs comes crashing down. All things that they take from others return to others or glorify others. However, individuals being of doing that do it with good intent, because as they are, they cannot achieve what they desire to help others, that becomes useful and good. They borrow and glorify the person that they are taking from, and in doing so, they glorify themselves. That is good, but when it is done self-serving, that becomes negative and feedback on itself, so what is taken is returned.
But there's many examples of those who are like a light, who shine forth, go about on their daily lives, enlightening other people, making them happy, teaching.
That is correct. That is what I said in my communication.
Mm-hmm. So growth comes from being happy no matter which side you're doing.
If it's in good intent, would not harm anyone.
Correct. It is more with not harming anyone, but doing good for others.
I have a question about harming anyone. We talk about people's best and highest good. How do we know what is for their best and highest good? And how do we know we're not interfering with their life? Because what we might think is not harming them might be harming them.
But by pointing them in a direction that is self-serving, is negative. In a situation where a individual is not totally truthful and is doing it for self-serving purposes, but is appearing to do it of good and with good intent in appearance, but is serving unto themselves, then that is negative, even if they masquerade under good and useful being.
How does one know himself he's not serving?
It is more looking back and seeing what is done. If it has brought happiness and enlightenment, then it is good. If it has not benefited the person that is bringing the happiness and enlightenment, that is good. If it has benefited more than the individual that they are teaching and learning, then that is bad. If it glorifies them at the expense in the long run of the person they are helping, that is bad. But if it helps and benefits both, that is of highest good. That is the most hardest one of all. An individual will help another, but if the individual is not of learning or desire to advance or comprehending of what is being offered, that is not bad. That is a lesson for the person trying to teach the lesson. I believe covered last week was a situation where Kiri was trying to help a newly ascended individual become more conscious and aware, but the lack of understanding of the individual being not as high for understanding or comprehension brought many problems. But Kiri, doing it of good intent and trying, learnt a lesson on patience, when to say enough. That is a lesson. Yes, so I have seen it. But with good intent, you try to help and teach and learn from.
Mm.
Those are all good.
Mm.
Being taken advantage of in good nature, as all present have been done in past and present, is useful. Learn from those situations for advancement.
Yeah.
Be aware that they are teaching tools, and when time is done, then you must say enough.
Mm-hmm. I've already been there. Thank you.
Yes, I am seeing that you are being to visit there again, I believe.
Probably. So I can't change who I am.
Did I not say that at
start?
That's
correct. That's correct.
Would you trade all those lessons?
No way. Mm-hmm.
They have taught you to be who you are.
Yeah.
You would not be here if you weren't who you were.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we, that is, us here on Hayden's Base, try to impart what little knowledge that we have to aid you in your growth.
Little, you're a master of understatement.
I do not comprehend. It is a paradox. How can one be a master of understating something?
Little, your knowledge is way, way, way beyond what we have.
You think so? Right. I think not. You just not know where to look. Look within yourself and you will see that it is but a little. It is, as you might say, a trifle. There is so much knowledge that even if we sit here for 100 cycles of your planet, that not being enough to explain 1/1,000,000,000 of all knowledge. So it is a little.
I understand that, but I don't have that kind of knowledge. You do.
You have different knowledge. You have not knowledge of plant or shrub or tree, but of metal and mineral. I have not. I have a plant and vegetable, but no metal or mineral.
So we each have our skills.
Oh, yeah.
I have my computer skills. I know a little about plants.
It's part of balance.
That's all part of it.
But I'm trying to learn.
Don't try to do it.
Trying is but the first step. But life's journey begins with of but a single step. One foot in front of the other. I know I quote a lot from your minds tonight. Okay, let us continue and make more lively of discussion.
I have a question on chakras that I've been working with. Treeva and I were working on this last week too. And the way of Devas, their speed of chakra is much higher than sixth dimension and even further, to a point where they're invisible.
It would be hard to say. I know Devas, but how they operate is hard for me. They are mystical in how they operate. I know how to appease them. I know how to make them do what I wish. But more is open to debate and conjecture.
Right, which is what I have been debating on myself, is how do they interact with the plant kingdom as far as their energy and the plant that they're working with. Perhaps if you knew that, I might have a better idea.
Being of way that work, they work in ways that are what we neglect. They are concerned with leaf and root. The roots are important for nutrition and advancement, but leaf also plays much important in creating food to be stored in roots. So Devas, being of aware of this, work in ways that encourage leaf to bend in way to generate maximum nutritional capability. And once leaf become old, dispense. Deva see that plant grow in place not suited, ignore, neglect, and will eventually cease to function as plant and be returned to ground for nutritional absorption. But plant ideally situated that need little nudge of help get from Deva that desire to do so. But short-term plants come and go in a blink of a Deva's mind, or be there for a long time if being of plant that Deva enjoys existing. It is important to restate that Devas live on different time perception than we do. A year can be a second, a blink of an eye for them. But a second can be an eternity. It is a paradox. feel free to open to conjecture.
Mm-hmm. One on that.
Okay. Then maybe offer different opening. As you know, I am keen on plants, primary love, great trees of size. Maybe that opening of floor for more debate or discussion. Or am I being, all too dry?
You're doing just fine.
Okay. It being of pleasure, I go and depart. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think he lost you guys somewhere along the lines.
No, just give us a lot to think about.
Sensory overload, I think, would be the correct phrase, correct?
Overload?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little.
Well, he's sometimes very hard to follow in his words, and sometimes it's very easy. It's very, very confusing for me. You think you have a hard time? It's not even my native language. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody's going to ask any questions? Okay.
Yeah, where's Laika?
Laika is on Sirius.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Just wanted to find out.
Okay. Greetings and felicitations.
Greetings.
Greetings, Russell.
Corton?
Yes. Greetings, Skip.
Good evening, sir.
Greetings, young lady.
That's Lara.
Lara.
There you go.
Okay. Now, as we have had a very interesting communication dilemma, I am present to discuss certain linguistic abilities. First of all, the gentleman you call Treebeard is not of, he is not learned in English, so he does best to translate from Syrian to English. And as you have noticed, the literal translations are not the same as a direct translation. So it is necessary to, as has been stated in the past for Russell, it is important to listen carefully when he talks. I am the base communicator. I'm in charge of communications for Ashar Command, so you can understand that it is important for myself to be eloquent. Unfortunately, some of our guest speakers are not as eloquent or gifted in the linguistic abilities. So it becomes quite tedious for you to listen to them and figure what they are saying between the lines. In fact, it is supremely hard sometimes. For those that are multilingual, it becomes even harder to follow the threads and paths that are laid out.
I didn't have any difficulty, really.
Well, I am saying in general. I am making a general statement. I am not saying that it is difficult for you or for anybody else, but as a general statement, weaving a pathway so that everything is weaved together can be very difficult when dealing with somebody that translates what they literally think into a linguistic sound for them. Okay, as a communicator, I open the floor to be able to facilitate a learning that may aid us all. So ask away.
Now, I've noticed with Ashtar Command, it's been fairly quiet for news and things that have been going on as far as happenings on what I've seen on the internet and other places. And that sort of reflects kind of third dimensional space. We know it also, except for Kosovo, it's been quiet here also. Is it too interrelate in that way?
No. The fact that it is being quiet is the fact that we are not communicating, which would open to the possibility if we're not communicating, what would that suggest?
You have nothing to say.
Or we are, we have a lot to say, but we are too busy.
Yeah.
You have to remember that there is a lot going on with preparations for debates and discussions and talks for the advancement of certain species for an